This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning into The Garden Show with Bob Harris. I am Ann Holliday with Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
And as you heard, as always, if you have a question for Bob, give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com, or you can go to Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075, and we'll be right there. and you can just leave us a question there in the comments, and Bob will be happy to answer your question there.
You bet.
So we, last week before we left, we were talking, not on the air, but just before we left, we were talking about cactus or cacti.
Yeah.
And you actually brought one in for us today.
Yeah, I did. And it's a prickly pear, it's called. Now, this is a cactus that will live in Bradford all year round. I know that's hard to believe, but it is one that will. As a matter of fact, they've even found these growing wild in Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah.
For people who aren't on Facebook Live, the prickly pear is the one with the flat.
Yeah.
Okay.
They call them pads or mouse ears or whatever you want to call them.
And they have prickly things coming out of them.
Yeah, they have pretty long thorns. But, you know, it's interesting. The thorns, there's not a lot of them. And that new one they found in Connecticut really has just about no thorns at all.
Wow.
Yeah, because it really doesn't need it. It's kind of neat how plants develop their defenses or use that energy for the defense for other things. And maybe that one in Connecticut is using all its energy more towards surviving the winters rather than surviving predators. And a predator of the prickly pear, one of them, is a desert tortoise.
Really?
And it's pretty neat to see. I had a chance to be in the desert and see a desert tortoise, which is a turtle. And I've gotten to see some of their work. And the prickly pear and a lot of cactuses are the same. The tortoise can come up and he can take a big bite out of the cactus and it will heal over and survive and continue to grow. They don't seem to just eat the whole cactus right down. They do seem to leave some and move on and find some more. In certain areas, they're just everywhere, these prickly pears in the desert. But let me back up a little bit here. So the cactus is a real unusual plant in that it really has no leaves. But they believe that the spines on it, the needles, the spines, are a type of leaf that the plant changed millions of years ago because it decided to grow where no other plant could grow and got rid of the leaves but kept the spines as a defense and just as maybe it's still evolving yet. So the spines remain. But it got rid of those because of the area where it lives. A leaf could not withstand all the heat and sun. It would not be able to draw up enough moisture. So it got rid of that, developed a heavy waxy coating to prevent water evaporation through its pads or its stem or its barrel. Cactuses have all different types of shapes. So it can survive a long time. And in some areas, they may only get an inch of rain a year. You know, and we can get 2-3 inches of rain in a day here. So they're just a real fascinating plant, and they're a great plant for people to have in their home. Now, if you have small children or pets that may bother it, what I like to do is you can get a fish aquarium 5, 10, 20 gallon, however big you want it. And you can create your own landscape with the cactus. But I want to tell you, here's kind of the key to growing them in a container like that. Since it doesn't have drainage holes, and that can be good or can be bad, but in this case, what we would do is first put activated charcoal on the bottom. And you only need like a less than half an inch, a quarter inch of activated charcoal.
Do you get that like right in the garden section of any place?
No, you're going to have to get that in the tropical fish section.
Okay.
The activated charcoal.
While you're getting your aquarium.
Yeah, yeah. And what that does is if there is excess water, the charcoal can absorb some of it and keep it from turning bad, so it gives off methane gas. It protects you from overwatering. And then, of course, then you want a little rock for a drainage so that water has a separation from the soil that you're going to put in, and use cactus soil or make your own mix with lots of stone and sand in that mix. But I really recommend purchasing some real cactus soil. It doesn't hold water well, which the cactuses really don't want much water. And then you can plant your cactus in there, and you can make your own scene. Maybe you like old cowboy movies, and you can get a little cowboy figure or a horse and put in there. It can be really fun, and of course, in that way, you're protecting the plant from the kids or the animals from getting into them. But they will need as much sun as you can give it. Now, since it's in an aquarium, you don't want to place it in a south-facing window where it could get real hot, unless you can leave the top of the aquarium open. Now, I like to have a closure over the top of mine. I usually just get a piece of plexiglass cut to the size that can fit right on top, and that way nobody can get into it and bother the cactus. Even bugs can't get into it and bother them. So that helps protect them. But remember that if it is closed like that, that you have to be careful not to put it in an area where it'll get sun all day long and could overheat it. Again, you can combat against that by maybe drilling a couple little holes in a plexiglass so it can let the heat out. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm worried about heat with a cactus.
Yeah.
But it can affect it in a way, or it can affect your watering habits. Because most cactuses, like I say, don't need much water, but most of us tend to give it a lot of water. Those little holes can help with evaporation, or they can cause too much evaporation. So it's something you have to experiment with, and it's fun to do. Cactuses are pretty cheap, inexpensive, and they're pretty doggone easy care. Mm-hmm. They're one of the most easy care plants there is, if you can control the watering. I'll have to say that many times. So most of the time, we don't want the soil wet. We want just enough water for the cactus to stay plump and full. When they start to get wrinkly and dehydrated, then you can add some water. But until that time, you know, try to stay away from the water. Most of the time I tell people, just when you think your cactus needs watering, walk away from it and wait till next time. Most of the time in a house, one of the rules is they say once a month. I probably do it like once every 2 months even. And I know some people, and cactuses can survive these long, long periods. Some people only a couple times a year may water their cactus. It all depends on your house. It depends on the individual cactus. But a lot of them in nature can survive that once a year watering even. I have a buddy that waters his cactus only once a year. And, man, it's just a fabulous looking thing. It grows like crazy.
I have one that I, until like a couple of days ago, didn't water for, I'm thinking, 3 or 4 months.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the overwatering is going to be sure death to them. They just cannot stand to be in wet or even damp soil. It's got to really be dry. So that's when you make that container, try to use that cactus soil because it dries out quickly to combat against you overwatering. Or even put a bunch of pebbles in the bottom. I don't usually recommend that for most plants, but for the cactus, I would also help it dry that way also through the bottom and through the top. Clay pots are even highly recommended because the clay can breathe. Plastic pot is such a closed container. It can hold more moisture. A clay pot does not. Now, I'm not talking about glazed ceramics. Mm-hmm. I mean just an unglazed clay pot. It can breathe air in and out, so it can help evaporate that water even in the side of the soil there.
Okay. And I have a question, and I didn't know this. A couple of weeks ago, we were actually talking about cactus, too. Can you talk about planting succulents with cactus?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I should do a little more research on this, but what I have found is a lot of succulents don't survive well with cactus. And I think because the few times I've been in the desert and observed, when a cactus is growing, really nothing else grows at the base of it except its own babies or new plants or seeds. So a lot of them give off allopathic, they call it, allopathic chemicals that stops the growth of other plants. And I think it really affects like a succulent being planted next to a cactus. When you see dish gardens, you would rarely, I can never seen an aloe vera, which is a succulent, planted with cactuses. One of them will survive and the other ones will not. And that brings me to a story. I did get to visit the biosphere in Arizona.
Yeah.
That was a real famous experiment.
Can you hold that for a second, Bob? Because we have a caller here. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Nope, it's Kim. Your sound's not working on your life.
All right.
Nope. I'd give you a heads up.
Oh, geez.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Biosphere.
When I got to visit the Biosphere, quite a place. It's over 9 million square feet. This is the biggest greenhouse in the world. And it was made by the government to experiment whether man could live in a enclosed area, especially for space travel. But got to tour it. And in one area, there is a desert there. And it happened that one plant, a type of tree that grows in the desert, fell against a cactus. And the thorns of the cactus pierced the tree. And the scientists really didn't know what to do. They didn't want to disturb either plant. So they kind of left it alone. And they saw that the two plants began to flourish even more so than before. Sometimes one of the plants, the cactus it was, would have a bug problem. And then all of a sudden the bugs went away and the cactus came back into full health. So they started doing experiments and seeing what was going on. And what was going on was the two plants, since they had been joined together, were exchanging chemicals back and forth. And a real symbiotic relationship. And one plant was giving a chemical to the other plant to fight off insect pest. And so that it would became a very interesting experiment. Also, in that biosphere, though, there's even a small ocean that you can view. There's mountains that you can view. Now, these are all down the scale, they're not real huge. There's a tropical area that's very interesting. They're doing experiments with there to see what is going to happen to the rainforest when it gets less rain which it is now. So they're trying to do the experiments to see what happens and what can be done, if anything, to help keep the rainforest, because it's one of the most important weather factors on Earth, going strong. So that's a little bit about the biosphere. Really interesting place to visit. I got to do a little experiment there, too, because when we did take the tour, we happened to be the only people there. Just an incredible, incredible place. But a lot of college kids, because the University of Arizona also works there a lot, doing a lot of the experiments. They were doing an experiment with the color of roofing to see how to keep a house cool. And, of course, it kind of amazed me because, geez, everybody knows lighter colors will reflect the heat better than darker colors. But they're doing the experiment anyhow, and I got to go around and take the temperature of different types of roofings and different colors of roofings and give the numbers to the college student that was doing the experiment. So that was a lot of fun. I felt really important that day, getting involved with an experiment like that. But the results were just what we figured they would be. The lighter colors were cooler. The darker colors were hotter. So they're suggesting, you know, people in the desert to keep from running their air conditioners or their swamp coolers so often that they use a lighter color roofing, maybe even lighter colored homes, which that's what you see most of the time out there.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a break and hear from our friends from Worth W. Smith, and we will be right back. Hang in there.
Get going on your outdoor projects now with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find a big supply of culvert pipe, 6-inch to 36-inch diameters and 20-foot lengths, perfect for drains, driveways, and other drainage uses. Worth Smith in Bradford also has plenty of railroad ties and patio blocks, as well as plastic and steel barrels for dozens of uses. And if your outdoor activities include camping or cooking out, you'll find what you need, from charcoal to mountain pie makers. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. And as always, if you have a question for Bob, give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can give us or send us an email at garden@wesb.com, and you can send a picture with that, too. So, Bob, take her away.
Okay. I kind of got off track because I was talking about the prickly pear cactus here and how it can grow right here in Bradford and withstand our winter. But a couple things to know is if you do get one and plant it, of course, plant it in a very, very sunny area with very well-drained soil. And come the first frost, you'll see it just collapse, and it'll look like it's dead. And all the winter, it will just be collapsed, laying right on the ground, and it'll look really ugly. It'll look like a dead leaf laying there. But it's not. It's just its way of protecting itself. So come spring, it will finally perk up and start to grow. And then come around June, it'll develop these big yellow flowers with a little bit of red in them. Most of them. Some of them will develop even a red flower. And then after the flower, a fruit will begin, which is a popular treat that we can get around Christmas time, is the prickly pear fruit. Now, in Mexico, they don't call it prickly pear fruit. They call it tuna. And it's important that you peel the fruit off because it does have little tiny spines on it that could bother you. So you peel it, and it is a very tasty fruit.
When I was in San Antonio, I had a prickly pear daiquiri.
Oh, yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's a great tasting fruit. And they will fruit, and they will flower and fruit right here in Bradford. I've grown them myself at home. There used to be a whole bank of them out Bolivar Drive. I don't think it's there anymore, but used to be dozens and dozens of them growing on the bank that I used to always be amazed to watch every year them growing there. And that would be a good location because banks, and this was a steep bank, banks do drain well, so they wouldn't be sitting in water all the time. So that's another key that if you want them, plant them on a mound or a bank. Any way you can get it to drain very well and collect as much heat and sun as you possibly can in that area. And it'll make for an interesting plant. But there are a few other cactuses that we can grow here. Right offhand, I can't tell you their names, you know, and they're hard to come by. But there are a few ones. But the prickly pear is the one I would suggest you start with because it's probably the hardiest.
And I don't know if this makes sense, but cactusy looking.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones that you think of when you first think of a cactus.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Another interesting point, though, about cactus, you know, they're all descendant or native to the Americas. Nowhere else in the world did the cactus begin. Now, the cactuses have been transported to other countries, like the prickly pear, and now they even grow in the Sierra Desert, but they didn't begin there. They all began in America for some reason, and scientists so far don't know why, but that plant is really particular to the Americas.
That's really neat.
North and South America. North and Central America.
Because there aren't a lot that like actually originated here, but that's cool.
Yeah, that plant is one that's just truly American. So it makes for a pretty interesting plant and a great house plant, one that you know, I would really recommend that if you do want some house plants that you try a cactus.
Like you said, I mean, you don't have to water it.
Yeah, they thrive. They thrive on neglect.
That's always good for me. I always used to joke that I could even kill a cactus, but I can't. So, so what are some other like good house plants that are easy that people can?
Okay, some of the top ones are the spider plant. That one usually green and white striped leaves. And then has these long stems where little babies will appear. That's how it got its name, the spider plant. Parlor palms are a real good one that you can grow. And I'm talking about plants that you grow in a sunny window or a not sunny window, away from a window totally, but does have a light on that's for a long period of time each day. Let's see, any of the philodendrons, they're great house plants. The pothos is one of those plants that, like the cactus, it's just hard to kill. Thrives on neglect. You can overwater it, underwater it. It just seems to thrive no matter what you do.
Well, that's why I was asking, because so many people are getting into gardening now, and they, I think it's good to have a plant where you really can't kill it so you don't get discouraged.
And with gardening, you know, sooner or later, we're going to have to come indoors and stay indoors because winter will come. And so the next logical step is to start gardening indoors. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. And we talked about some of them on the show before. Terrariums. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite ways. Because, that's a way to grow a plant without hardly any care at all. And most of the time, a terrarium is a container that's completely enclosed. And, of course, you would do the soil mix the way I suggested with the cactus, a little bit of the activated charcoal on the bottom, and then maybe a little gravel, and then a real light potting soil. You may even consider using the cactus soil again. And you can plant those little house plants in there. And then, of course, you give them one good watering. You know, I have to be careful when I say good watering. You want all the soil damp. I'll say, like, in a 5-gallon aquarium, the very first watering would be like a whole glass of water. And that's it. Now you put the lid on it, and you should be good for over a year. Because every day with the sun rising and setting, you're going to see everything will fog up during the morning as the sun rises. And then all that fog starts to drip down as the day goes, and it clears it up. Now, that's just like a rainforest. So it's going to rain every morning on your plants. It's recycling that rain, and it's being helped by that activated charcoal in the bottom that's cleaning that water. And so it rains down on the plants every day. It's watering, and they can grow. I have one terrarium that I probably only water about once every 3-4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's it's kind of fun and fascinating to see that how nature can really take care of itself if we do the container right. And it can be an experiment at first. With the terrariums, too, if you did accidentally overwater and the terrarium fogs up but doesn't clear up through the day, then take the lid off for a couple days so it can dry up a little bit, and then put the lid back on. And as long as it fogs up in the morning but then clears up through the day, then you have the right amount of moisture. If it doesn't do that, you have too much or too little.
I was just thinking about a terrarium I made with you at the Creative Women's Workshop. I don't even remember the last time I watered that.
Oh, yeah, great.
Because how many years ago was that you did the terrarium?
Oh, geez, yeah.
At least three.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
And by the way, hi, Sally. Normally, Bob and I would be with you this weekend, but it's not a normal weekend.
Yeah.
Because it's usually the last Saturday of July.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, this is the first Saturday of August.
So yeah.
Would have been last weekend last that we would have been with Sally.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I don't remember the last time I watered it, and it's still good.
Well, great.
So?
I even have one at home I do for my wife, because it has orchids in it, those miniature orchids. They only grow like 6 or 8 inches tall. And it's ideal for them. They just seem to love it in that terrarium because, of course, they get the fog every morning, and then they dry up through the day. So the flowers seem to last for months and months. So that's a fun one. So terrariums can be a great way to grow houseplants by protecting them and keeping them healthy for a longer period of time, especially since, some of us do have that problem with we open our windows every day in our house and let some of that cool night air come in. Well, with that, some bugs are coming in and they can get infested with our plants. But in a closed terrarium, we don't have to worry about that at all.
And with the terrariums, like you said, with the cactus, you can make a little scene or whatever. You can do that with your terrarium, too.
Exactly, yeah. That even makes it more fun to make a little scene. Design yourself something nature or even symbolic, that you can place figures or rocks or twigs, anything in there that symbolize you and your family or you and your favorite pet or whatever symbol you want to create in there. And so it can be real enjoyable. So every time you walk by it, you can remember those things.
I think terrariums are one of my favorite things to make and take care of. And I just love terrariums. Always have. And just making that one with you, it was really fun to do. it's not in anything special terrarium thing. It's just it was a big mason jar.
So it can be anything from a mason jar to a fish bowl to a fish tank to a hand-built wooden structure with glass sides and glass top to let a lot of light in. It just goes on and on.
That's one of the great things about I think terrariums and any kind of gardening is use your imagination.
Yeah use your imagination. Exactly.
Okay. And, gosh, we're out of time.
So. Yeah.
But we will be back next week, and you can send, if you have a question during the week, you can always give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, and I'll be happy to pass your question on to Bob. Or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com, and you can send a picture with your email so Bob can see what you're talking about, so you don't have to like draw a little picture like I had to do today and still couldn't figure it out. So I'll have to send that picture to Bob so he can figure it out next week. It's cactus related, so we might be talking about cactus again next week too. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.